Hello, this is Dan Whiting. I'm here with Idaho Senator Larry Craig. We're in the United States Capitol in your office, Larry. It's immediately following the President's State of the Union address. So this is a special pod chat with you. It was not normally scheduled, but we have some questions that pertain to the State of the Union, and we're here. So Larry, why don't, first of all, before we get to the questions, have you talk about your reaction to the State of the Union. You were in the House chambers during the speech. What did you think?
Well, earlier this evening, I didn't necessarily want to recognize, but the reality is this was the 26th State of the Union I've heard since I began to serve Idaho in the United States Congress. And I would say this is a slightly different State of the Union than both I or those watching might traditionally expect. You heard tonight from a president who is strongly committed to where he is as it relates to our war on terrorism and freeing the world from the threat of the kind of terrorism that we have experienced and the rest of the world has. And he reminded us of the unique role we play because of our military, because of our beliefs, because of our power at the moment. I don't think he misused it in the way he handled it in any respect. I think he speaks to us as a leading world and one that has that responsibility. So I thought that was very positive. Beyond that, he really challenged us in the right direction, I think, to recognize where we are as a country, what our responsibilities are from a competitive world market and educating our children to allow us to continue to compete and be the great economic superpower we are, along with a military superpower, and challenged us in a bipartisan way to do so. He talked about the economy in the sense of energy and the important role that energy plays and the need to continue to enhance what we've already done, which is very positive and is beginning to work, but is long-term in nature. He talked about health care and the importance of that. He challenged us to reform Social Security and Medicare, two very valuable programs to our country, but two programs that if we don't reform them in the right direction will literally consume all of our federal budget as this large class of what we call baby boomers begin to hit in the next few years and grow very rapidly. I thought it was his strongest speech ever. It was short on rhetoric and very solid on substance. He wanted to bring us together, as any president would, in a bipartisan effort to solve these problems.
All right. Well, perfect. We appreciate your thoughts on that. So let's get to just three questions from Idahoans that relate to stuff the president addressed in his speech. The president spent a considerable amount of time tonight addressing health care issues. It's very important. It's on everyone's minds. And a couple Idahoans have written in about health care, both of them related to prescription drug coverage, but from different angles. For starters, Pat from Wilder has concerns over the Medicare prescription drug benefit. So she's asking you, what do people plan on doing about the debacle called the prescription drug program for seniors? As I see it, it's just another gimmick for you to spend more money, and it's plain blackmail. Think about it. If you didn't sign up before May, you'll be fined 1% every other month until you finally do sign up. She says that's blackmail, pure and simple. What are we seeing on the Medicare drug benefit, and what are your thoughts?
Just 2 years ago, everybody was writing in saying, Senator, solve this prescription drug issue. Prescription drugs are expensive, and I can't have access to them. I can't afford them. I can't deal with them. Today, they're now arguing because there are, in Idaho alone, 10 or 12 programs that they can select. The good news is that the Congress did act to bring down the cost of prescription drugs to the average consumer out there within the Medicare sphere, those who are eligible for Medicare. 20 million Americans, or nearly that, have signed up. I am told that 90,000 a day are signing up. Everyone who signs up could well have their prescription drug cost cut by anywhere from half to two-thirds. I think that is a tremendously positive thing. Sure, there are going to be critics of it, as well there should be. It is a new program. It is a massive program, and to get it right in the first instance is difficult at best. Over the course of the next couple of years, I think this will prove to be a very positive program for America's seniors and for those eligible for Medicare.
Perfect. Well, Mike from Driggs is coming from a different angle. He is a working man. He's also diabetic. I don't have time to read the entire story that he sent in to you, but in summary, again, he's diabetic, he's employed, working in Driggs. His employer's insurance covers the drugs he needs to live, although he still covers many of the costs. But what he worries about is losing his job and his insurance through unforeseen circumstances. So he writes, and I quote, "Do you think it is fair to outsource my right to life, liberty, justice, and the pursuit of happiness to corporations that are vulnerable to market conditions rather than having the state and federal government take that burden?" And he continues, "Why is the government covering seniors and not others? And what are you doing for folks like me?"
Well, let me start at the end of the question and work forward. Why we're covering seniors and those that are don't work or can't work anymore and are older and in many instances poor is a compassionate country speaking to that. But what he has spoken to as it relates to his own vulnerability, I clearly recognize. It's why I have always been an advocate of the consumer owning their own health care and their own health care insurance. The phenomena he's in was created after World War II or during that period of time, and today 70% of Americans receive their health care through their employer. Why? Well, we give the employer tax advantages to provide it. You know, 40 years ago we thought that was the right idea, and it worked for America for a long while. Today, it doesn't fit as well as it used to. People move around more. They move from job to job. He's right. Companies come and companies go. What he needs is a portable health care plan that he owns, that the employer participates in, a health savings account that allows him to pay for his own, if you will, out-of-pocket costs and then deals with the catastrophic costs. That's what the president was speaking to tonight, empowering this man and American consumers to own their own health care, to negotiate their own health care relationship with their doctor instead of to have their corporation or their company do it. I hope that's where America ultimately gets.
Well, great. Thanks for addressing those. We just have one more quick question, a completely unrelated subject, but Paul Keller from Sandpoint, he'd like to know, quote, "If you don't get everything you want, will you still vote to renew the Patriot Act? This is a necessary tool. I know we have the Patriot Act set to expire this Friday. What's going on? What are the behind-the-scenes negotiations, and where are things going?"
Well, I'm glad Paul has asked that. First of all, it is never a game of getting all that I have to have. What is important here is the issue of our Constitution and the civil liberties that our Constitution grants our citizens, and the role of law enforcement in helping keep us safe. Now, that is at times a precarious balance between law enforcement and the right of the citizen. Over the course of the last several weeks, I and others have worked very closely with the White House. We think we are now within reach of, within the next few days or maybe a week, of getting a compromise that we all can agree on. I've given some and the White House has given some. And in the end, we will have a stronger Patriot Act that will give law enforcement all that it needs to keep us safe while allowing the private citizen and the free citizen to remain free of the prying eyes of government if they are law-abiding and responsible under the Constitution. That's what this is all about. I'm not as worried about a George W. Bush misusing this as I am 20 or 30 years down the road, a new president, a different president, a new attorney general, a different attorney general, and a different world circumstance where America goes frightened and we think we give our government the right to pry into our private lives. That's something I will always guard against on behalf of not only Idahoans, but all U.S. citizens living under our Constitution.
Great. Well, that brings us to the end of this special edition of the PodChat. We thank you for listening. If you'd like to submit a question for a future PodChat, please visit craig.senate.gov/podchat. And if you'd like to subscribe to Senator Craig's e-news, which goes out every other week, to get the latest information and to get an advance notice about the PodChats, please go to craig.senate.gov/e-news. Thank you.